Money Matters is brought to you by Petso Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio.
All right, our great friend Dave Petso joining us here at KIDO Talk Radio. And is it time to start gloating? I mean, Dave Petso, when we're taking a look at your beloved markets,
Gloating? No. I gloat all the time. 35 years of gloating. Well, the market always works.
I'm just saying that, you know, it's been a little rough times for you and your market boys.
So. Well, it has, yeah. Right. So I'm not gloating. No.
You, Zuckerberg, you see, finally after like 8 years of such a great run here, now I'm trying to, you know, say, is it time for a bear? Is it time for the recession? Is it time for all those doomer and gloomers to come at you on Money Matters?
I know. I think all the doom and gloom people are, I think they've been buried. They've been taken it off and buried somewhere in a hole. There's nothing you can say after 9 years of a great run.
Well, but again, you've got speaking of great runs, let's talk a little bit about the Facebook and Google and Amazon and everything else. Shocking that they know all of your intricacies. Shocking that we have no privacy when we log on to social media. And yet, old Zuck might be going before Congress. Of course, you know, that's like taking somebody to the principal's office. They're not the boss of him. Or how do you see this?
Well, I do see more regulation coming. And I think it's a real threat to technology stocks. They've had a really bad run. You think about what's going on. Amazon is now, I mean, they've become so powerful. We've talked about this before multiple times about how it really could be addressed for antitrust violations. They take all the money from their cloud services, and then they can undercut everybody else. Now, you might call that capitalism, but it's no different than when somebody dumps steel in this country or dumps whatever product below cost, not below our cost, below their cost to drive them out of business. Micron ran into this many years ago with both Korea and Japan. They were dumping chips trying to drive all of the competitors out of business. They put tariffs on them and stopped that from happening. It's no different when you have money coming from one sector and then you use it to sell prices or sell below cost to drive competitors out of business. So Amazon's up. Number two, you have Facebook causing all kinds of problems out there. Now, does that mean they're going to be looking at the data that Twitter has, that Google has in particular, and all those things? And the answer is yes. And now they're under scrutiny for what they're doing with their data. I'm with you, Kevin. Like, really, you think that nobody's looking? How do you think that those underwear ads wind up on the website the second after you order a pair of underwear?
Let me get to that. I mean, how effective are those ads? Because you know, people will talk about the digital stuff, and you know, you click on one thing, but it gets tiring, it gets fatiguing, at least to me. Where I'll look at a lens for a camera, and then all of a sudden I've got like 50 lenses getting flooded, or these political candidates now, and it's like, is that as impactful as, let's say, traditional advertising?
I think it's, well, because it's targeted. It is, artificial intelligence allows them to do it without actually having a human being sit down and figure out who Kevin Miller is behind the scenes. The instantaneous, the computer has it and starts feeding the data to you. So the answer is, when you go to a Google search, you are, I think it's something like a third of the people immediately will buy that product, and so they of course know that, and so they are all lining up to try to get you to click on theirs and be the one that sells it to you.
Right, but that human element, okay, you look at it, okay, there's one thing, but there's an email, there's this on the Drudge Report, there's this on Yahoo.
Yep.
After a while, could it be a turnoff to folks?
I think it is. I totally agree with you. It certainly is to me. I don't think I'm alone in this. In fact, I know I'm not, where I don't really see ads. You know, when you read the newspaper, I have actually in the past gone clear by a picture of me because it looked like, you know, was an ad that was run with my picture in it. And years ago, I read the paper and I didn't even see that at all. That's how tunnel vision, if you're trying to go through it, you have to be that way on the computer now because the whole side, the top, everything is lined with them. And so if you notice, they start moving. They try to get things to move now just to try to catch your attention because it is a tunnel vision type of a look. And Kevin, it's wearing us out. It is. And I just don't think people click anymore. If they do, it would surprise me.
Well, one site that I find that's unusually obnoxious is the Idaho Statesman. It's you go there and it follows you, and even if you pay for a subscriber, you're like, dude, just give me a rest. No, I don't want to click on anything. Leave me alone.
Right. No, I think it's true, and some of them are that way. Channel 7, even, you know, I have to say that theirs is very difficult to get through because they push ads all the time at you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so you can't get through. You have to sit through an ad before you go to any story at all.
I would never criticize Channel 7.
Well, I rarely do. I know. But
weren't
I have
you just
to.
On Channel 7?
I was just on Channel 7, yes. Uh-huh. I don't. But I'm just saying that's part of it is everything is slowing down. I don't blame them. They have to sell advertising. I'm just saying it's all of these types of things that we use, we find problems with, the same with Yahoo and all the others.
But there are some, and I think this is the future of digital media, if you will, that there are some sites that they don't have advertising.
Right.
And you pay for that. I find it totally absurd that if you have a subscription to the Idaho Statesman, you still get blanketed by the ads.
I think that's a fair point you're making.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right.
And people, I think, would pay more for just something without the advertising.
Well, they do. Think about Pandora, right?
Right.
Right. So you listen to it and you go, you know, I don't want to listen to ads anymore, so am I going to pay $8 a month? And the answer is a lot of people do.
Right. No, and there's a print site called The Athletic, which, again, is about sports and such and business. And, you know, it's like $4 a month and there's no ads. All right. Back to Dave Petz on the tech stock. So let's go to Amazon for a moment. The president has declared war on them. And, you know, people are going, why is he picking on Amazon? Well, the guy that owns Amazon owns The Washington Post,
yep.
Has not been a friend to the president. And when you elect Donald Trump, I can remember Patriot Ray saying this, I wish that we had a president that thought and spoke like all of us. And Trump, despite his Wharton School of Business degree, his, you know, his academic background that people question, is really a blue-collar thinker where he goes, okay, I'm going to make you feel the pain. And regardless of whether or not he's threatening to raise the postal rates, that's a little brushback like in baseball. He's saying, look, you can feel a little pain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, you know, the Chinese. We're going to go and do this, and we're serious this time type of thing.
Wait a minute. You always look at me funny when I bring up the Chinese. By the way, if you have a question about your money with Dave Petzo, 580-5436. I just want it on record. I didn't bring up the Chinese this morning. We'll get to them and their crazy tariffs. But you go back to these tech stocks. You go back to Amazon. Why aren't there more competitors? I mean, Walmart seems to be figuring this out. Now
they
with
are.
Amazon with the acquisition of Whole Foods. Now, how ridiculous, how lazy are we getting here? Okay, Whole Foods can give you your grocery list in 2 hours now. Now you have the local folks trying to match it. In a way, it's good because you see more people being employed to keep up with this.
Yep.
But how silly and ridiculous is it?
It is.
In an era where you and I grew up, you went to the store, you stood in line. Sometimes you had a good checkout person, sometimes you didn't. However, that's part of life. Now, all of a sudden, you make a phone call or you touch an app. I mean, all these restaurants now have apps that, you know, there's no human interaction. Are we losing something here?
Well, I think we are, but I'm a dinosaur, right? I mean, to me, it isn't.
You're not helping with us with attracting the younger demos when you're saying you're a dinosaur.
Well, it's one of those things. I like people. I like looking at them. I like seeing them. I want to get out of my house. I don't want to always be pushing an app and somebody drops food off on your door. Or even better, Kevin, how about the drone brings it? Then you have no interaction at all, and you don't have any humans working for you.
I think that's far away, and I know you and I disagree on that. The whole self-driving vehicles is a major setback. You know, you push those things too far, accidents happen.
Yep.
And look, I'm sorry. I'm always going to go to the grocery store. I think it's ridiculous that, you know, you have an app and all of a sudden Billy the drone drops things off for you.
I think so too. But what I'm saying is that's the millennials you were asking about, or you commented on the millennials there. us older folks like to go see what we're buying. We like the interaction with people. Millennials don't. They would rather sit at home and play their video games, watch their Netflix, and have food dropped at their door. Now, I'm not saying that the drones are coming next week or next year, but they are on the way. And the more we ask for that, the more money will be spent. So the technology is developed.
Right. But you're going to have to employ people to operate the drones.
You are. Yes. Initially. Initially.
Until the drones can fly themselves. And then we're going to have Skynet, like was predicted in the Terminator movie back in 1984.
Correct. It's coming.
Dave Pezzo, he's full of good news. Speaking of good news, let's go to Facebook. Zuckerberg's stock has dropped 15%. And then I go back to, the quaint days when Facebook had that IPO and then it dropped a little, like, what, $25 or something?
Yep.
It's like, what, at $1.50, something like that?
Yep.
Okay.
Off of $1.80, yeah.
Right. So you buy it, you bought it then.
Yep.
Even if you couldn't get in on the initial IPO, that's pretty good. But 15% decline, what does that mean? Is this just a bump in the road? All of a sudden, hey, we're going to put a new emoji on and the stock goes up 30%?
Right. I don't think it'll be that kind of meteoric rise. There's a lot of pressure on them. But you can see with it all, down only 10 or 15% that people are ready to buy this incredible company. And they are incredible. You think about how many billions of people look at it every day and what to do with the data. No, I'm not a fan, Kevin. It's just
No. I go back to the Petzoism that I quote when you're not around. Facebook, iPhones, making a luxury a necessity.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I'm not a Facebook guy. I mean, we do it at the office and all that stuff. But the point is, you have 2 billion people worldwide on Facebook. Nobody has that many eyeballs and spends that much time. That's a monster machine.
It is. But going back to the Petzoism, a luxury making it a necessity. And you're right. You can't avoid it. But look, if I weren't in the business that I'm in, I would be probably very reluctant to do that. That seems to be the end thing.
Yeah.
Is not to be on social media.
It sort of is, but at the same time, you have to be engaged. And I want to see my kids. That's the reason I'm on. Okay. I've never posted a picture of me.
Can't they send a picture of you? Can't they send you a picture, an email or something?
Well, they do.
Right, but they self-publish, though, on Facebook.
But I like to see that there.
So you're addicted. They got you. They got Petzo.
They do. Every 2 weeks, I'm on for at least 5 minutes every 2 weeks.
We'd love to hear from you next. 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller, Dave Petzo, KIDO Talk Radio. All right, we've got a couple calls for Dave Petzo. That headset actually works, Dave, so you're good to go. Remember, Dave Petzo, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, and even on social media. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Doug in Mountain Home for Dave Petzo with Kevin Miller at KIDO Talk Radio. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Yes, I think it's great. I really do love this president. I am glad he is doing something about this. And you know why? Because I don't know a damn thing about freaking electronics. But it just pisses me off every time I hear the word Amazon. I was buying stuff, Kevin, the Christian store in Boise, books, music, videos, and all of a sudden I go in there and they're having a closeout. And I go, what's going on? They said, Amazon, you can get it cheaper on it. I mean, I am sick of electronics. These kids walk around their freaking heads down instead of up. And just like you guys were just saying, they don't want to leave the house. They don't want to work. All they want to do is, and half the time, you just listening to your radio show about how much money they make on this stuff. I want to see them eat this stuff. I've always said, I want to see you get nutrition out of these electronics. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Amazon clearly is the death star out there to retail. And if they're competing fairly, then more power to them. The way Walmart changed our country as well, but they were competing fairly, and it isn't considered to be. I don't consider it fair either, to take money from one business and then use it to undercut everybody else. Now, I don't mind undercutting. You have a big buying power. You can sell it for cheaper, but you have to be able to sell it above your cost, not below cost, being supplemented to drive people out of business. And
well, yeah. And Kevin, excuse me for interrupting you, but I seen it right here with Albertsons. We have Walmart and Albertsons in Mountain Home. They took Paul's out. And Albertsons is ridiculous. I am not kidding you. This store here is so expensive, it is unbelievable. No competition, except for Walmart. And half the stuff you get at Walmart, maybe more than half, and I don't even know about the food, comes from freaking China. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I'd say that.
Doug, great
and
point.
I really do like this president. He is a breath of fresh air to this place. People, wake up. He's trying to drain the swamp, and you got people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. They're supposed to be Republicans? Okay. Right. Anyway, I'll shut up, Kevin. Thanks.
All right, Doug. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. And more of your phone calls. Let's go to Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, with his great friend Dave Petso at KIDO Talk Radio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Dave, several things, if I could. The other day, I heard you on the radio Saturday. I was cutting boards and putting in nails. You said that you were reading from the minutes of the Federal Reserve, and it all sounded rosy and pink and glorious and what have you. So I'm confused because a few months back, they gave us that we're going to have a 5.4 GDP, and then they downgraded that a few months ago to 2.6 or 2.8. And then not too long after that, they said, well, now it's going to be 1.9. 2 weeks ago, they downgraded it to 1.8. It's like, whoa. So the minutes, the projections on GDP, I don't know how we're at two different ends of the fence there. And then you've got Fisher and DeMartina, both with the Dallas Federal Reserve, coming out saying this is all one big lie. So I'm not sure who to believe anymore. But China, there's a big subject. China... I know some years back you found it hard to believe that they could become a reserve currency, but they managed. And then months back you said they could not do a oil futures contract backed by gold. They managed to do that. The first hour was 10 billion notionals were sold. And just the other day they announced that from here on in, they're only going to pay for all their oil.
Well, hold on. Let's let Dave respond to some of these. So,
sure.
You, go ahead, Dave. Your thoughts on
I'm
what
not
Terry
sure
said.
What to respond to. I don't really think they have much of a reserve currency for the world, but apparently Terry does. He thinks they're taking over the U.S. dollar. That's fine. I really don't see the evidence of that. Not sure what, and I don't know what's changed on that. But and as far as the Federal Reserve goes, the minutes, pretty clear. They upgraded their GDP outlook, Terry. That's what they did this past week. They upgraded it, period. Period.
They went to,
and they also ago, they said went, that the unemployment rate would be lower than they said it would. Now, I don't know why it is you want the world to die. I don't understand
all.
Every time you call in, it's like you look for some kind of...
I'm just telling you what's reported in the news. Uh-huh. My goodness. You can go to the Council on Foreign Relations, and they'll show you everything that China has in holdings, including the U.S. Treasury. So, you know, I'm not the guy reporting this. Then we jump over into...
Now, wait a minute. What about Dave's, what about Dave's allegation that you want the world to end, Terry?
Oh, yeah, right. All my grandchildren, all my friends, myself, my life. I don't think so. Come on, be real.
Well, no, Terry, I don't know. Every time you call up, there's always something wrong with the world. China's going to do this, or they have a reserve currency going to take us out. You've argued this for the last 9 years. As soon as we get where QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, as soon as they taper, as soon as this, the world is ending. It's all over. And it's never been correct, Terry. And now you're telling me that now we're going to find out reasons why the China has a reserve currency, and or that the Federal Reserve did not, in fact, say just 2 weeks ago that in fact they needed to upgrade their GDP outlook, that the new chairman in fact stood up there and said that things were going very well. He was very impressed with the economy. And further, they also said that unemployment rate would be even lower than they originally had anticipated. Thus, the dot plots continued to stay on for three more rate increases. I don't know what you're talking about.
They lowered their expectations to 1.8 2 weeks after they went 1.9. Why would they do that? And then you tell us this. I'm confused. I don't understand why they would
I have no idea what you're talking about, Terry. None.
Okay.
None. Why don't you shoot me the data you're talking about? You've got all these things you reel off.
By the way,
but that's not at all what he stood there front on TV. He stood there on TV talking about it. What are you talking about?
Okay, I don't care. I'm just telling you what's reported through the shit Council on Foreign Relations. You read them.
Right.
Okay.
Because I couldn't see him on CNBC and NBC and all the other stations. I couldn't really see how Powell was standing up there and doing that. It was an optical illusion.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, all I know is what's out there in the news. Hey, and this isn't reported by some, I don't know, some wacko on a blog in the middle of Tennessee. And the exaggeration of 9 years, I think that's the thing that's very frustrating when you do your exaggeration. But anyways, let's go to China. They announced on Good Friday that they're going to now only pay in yuan for all the oil that they import.
Well,
how will that affect the petrodollar?
All right, Terry. God bless. A little heated this morning here. China, the currency, the yuan, is it a danger?
No, no. Nobody trusts the Chinese.
Now you start to sound like me.
Nobody trusts the Chinese. I remember a few years ago when I got in arguments with people that they were going to do. Remember when the ruble and the yuan were going to come together? That was the thing. The Chinese and the Russians, because the world was going to go to their currency. It makes no sense at all.
A couple quick points with Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial Money Matters on Saturdays 8 to 10. You know, the point being with Amazon, though, I mean, we've been beating them up, but they do make things cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get things. And it's to me, it's frustrating because I love bookstores, and I wish we had more of them. You know, a few years ago, we had Borders in the mall. We had Hastings. We still have some pretty good used bookstores here, previously owned bookstores. And we have Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble, unfortunately, laying off a lot of people. And you work at a bookstore. You do it because you love the people.
Yeah.
You love the books. You don't do it for the money, number one.
It's true.
And it's frustrating when I go in there and I'll talk to these guys, and I'll say, well, do you have this book? Well, no. Well, we can order it. And it must be so frustrating for them because they'll say, well, you know, you have somebody go, no, I can just click this right now. And I always try and use Barnes & Noble and always give credit to the store. But Amazon is ruthlessly efficient.
Yeah, they are. There. And I, you know, it's true. You don't have to go out of your way. You don't have to sit in traffic. You don't have to get frustrated.
Right.
And you know it's going to be there. It's not a question. You know, if I go to Barnes & Noble, to your point, is it going to be there when I get there? You already know. I'm not saying it's the Death Star that it's all evil. But the point here is that I want to see fair competition, and if people can respond and do and create an experience, like you've said many times, you like going in there.
Right.
It's a fun experience. That's good.
Well, I like the guy that does the magazines, Bill. He's wonderful. Bill is a legend in town.
Yeah.
He's always there doing the magazines. Two more quick points.
Yep.
Gas prices going up.
They are.
You and I agree to disagree on this, but that's got to have an impact on the economy. And one more quickly after that.
Okay, first of all, gas prices, it's still such a minor amount that of increase. I don't like it either, but it's a couple of bucks. That's all it's going to be, and in today's world, that is not going to be a detriment. Now, again, I'm not going to do a Nancy Pelosi on you and say it's peanuts, that we're giving people $1,000 back, but the reality is that this is not going to hurt the economy. Kevin, I don't like it, but it's not going to hurt the economy.
But you wonder the rationale. I mean, I saw a place that, you go from, what was it, $295, to 308 in less than a week. Okay.
Yep.
Rates going up. People say that's going to impact credit cards, consumer debt at an all-time high. We hear this all the time.
Yep.
Your thoughts?
The consumer debt all-time high makes sense when the economy is continuing to grow. We're not over-leveraged to our ability to pay for it, number one. Number two, the two key areas where we have debt problems are small to the economy, so I wouldn't worry about it yet, but that is student loans and it is on automobiles, particularly subprime lending in automobiles. Those are the two areas that are really, really high, but overall to debt, very small. And so we're in good shape overall for debt, but you're right, interest rates rising will eventually impact that. We still need to, as a society, get this right. And putting things on credit cards, spending money you don't have on frivolous things like a cup of coffee, we have got to change that dynamic in this country, or I'm afraid the millennials are going to be in a debt position the rest of their life.
Our man, Dave Pezzo, thank you, sir.
Good to be here, Kevin. Thank you for having me. I really mean that.
Oh, it's the highlight of our Monday. It really is. You're listening to Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us live, of course. And it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Would love to visit with you on this rainy, dreary, indoor day. And you can't even watch the Masters because, well, they're looking at a rainy, dreary, rain-delayed day. And it's hours until the leaders tee off. Anyway, but I digress. Tough week in the market. Tough day, really. Good week until then. Why? Trade. That's the news. It's all about trade. And the uncertainty of that. Or is it the uncertainty about what's going on with tech stocks? What kind of regulations might happen to the Facebooks, the Amazons, the Googles of the world? They have been market leaders. And now there's concerns that weren't there. What happens when you take the leaders out? The market struggles. So it's both. But one of the things that I find that I think we need to have the right perspective about, and I'll touch on this pretty much throughout the day, is our lack of patience. If you will, that's the theme. That's the takeaway for me. We have such instant gratification. We all go, yep, that's the way it is. That's our culture. But I think often we don't really contemplate what that means. What does that do to us in our investing, in our life, in our relationships, when we don't have patience to let things play out? So we hyperventilate about trade. Now, there has not been, let me just kind of put this in a context, and we're going to be a little short on time because I got to jam in a whole bunch of commercials or something like that, right, in the next 20 minutes. But that's why I said I'll talk about this all day. We have to put this in the right perspective and think about it. All throughout the world, for the last 30 years, both parties, this is not a political in that Republican versus Democrat statement, have done nothing at all but appease North Korea. And now they have a nuclear weapon. And it sits there at the lap of this president who happens to be a doer. I don't know one since Ronald Reagan. In my lifetime, I'm trying to think who was a doer, right? Who got in and said, I've got to get this thing fixed. Now, we did have doers on the other side, if you will, like Obama. I'm going to go in and I want government to run everything. So he was a doer in that sense of regulation and passing rules and stopping things from happening. I don't think that's very positive, personally. But I don't want to completely take away the fact that he was a bit of a doer. But he wasn't in foreign affairs at all. He did nothing with North Korea. The presidents before him didn't. Now, I know you're saying, well, what about trade? That has nothing to do with trade. Yes, it does. It has everything to do with trade because it's the same thing. What have we done with trade? We've complained that the Chinese steal. All of our intellectual property. They're unfair trading. They don't let businesses in. They have tariffs on it. The list goes on and on and on about complaints. Every single administration says the same thing. And now you turn around, and it's dumped on Donald Trump, who has said for the last 2 years, I'm going to do something about the bad trade deals that we have. And we have no patience to see this through. None. None at all. No patience at all to wait and see what's happening in the Middle East. With the new sheriff in town, things are kind of quieting down, aren't they? But what did we do for years and years? We just drew red lines and did nothing about it. We have a president doing stuff, wants it done. We have a press that hates him. We have to be careful I'll talk a lot more about this, of how we perceive what's going on. I don't know if it's a negotiation tactic. I assume it is. But I doubt very much that the president wants to start a trade war. But he's always said we need to have fairer trade. So has every president, but they've done nothing about it. They jabber and do zero. Is that good policy? Apparently, according to Wall Street, many commentators on Wall Street, it is. We aren't supposed to actually do stuff like demand other countries trade freely, or what we're going to do is find the farmers in Iowa who are hurt. And I'm not putting that down. They might be if soybeans are have a big tariff. But can they? No, they have to eat. Weird, but the Chinese want to eat food too, and they need the protein. You don't just magically go, well, we're not going to buy your food and we'll invent food somewhere else. You can't. It doesn't work that way. So do I really think that the farmers in Iowa are going to get hurt? No. But I think it's a great opportunity for the press to bash Trump. The press has never, ever cared about trade. Democrats have never cared about trade. Ever. They don't want free trade. They don't even know what it means to the economy. Now everybody who never cared before is hyperventilating about trade. Yeah, this is really, 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 really bad. Can't believe it. Okay. Wow. Where'd that come from? Nowhere. You didn't care before. Nope. You didn't care if Obama or Clinton or Bush put a tariff on somebody. Nobody cared. Wasn't the end of the world. But now we're all becoming trade experts. I think we have to be careful. Where's our patience? Where's our patience? It's a way deeper problem than this. Way deeper problem. All right. We got to go to the phones. Let's go to, is it Dune? Is that right, Dune?
Is that right?
All right. Hello there.
Hello there.
Okay. I guess he's gone. Whatever. Okay. Try us back. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break here. We'll give Dune, I guess, a chance to call back. Dude, Dune, whoever. Or you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go back to, I think it's Dylan. Dylan, are you there?
Hey, hello. I'm here.
Good, good. Go right ahead. What's your question, Dylan?
So I had a question about what you thought about the Sean Hannity and Jimmy Kimmel feud after what Jimmy Kimmel kind of made fun of Melania Trump. And I'm a millennial myself, so I just kind of curious. I mean, why do you think these, quote, moral leaders are such an influence on my generation, and why is it fair for them to be able to say whatever they want, but when a conservative millennial like me says something that disagrees with them, it's not okay?
Right, right.
Go ahead.
Dylan, actually, that's a great question for all of us. We do not understand, really. We don't understand why we can't have a honest disagreement and dialogue, and that the left decides that how all thought should be. And they do. You go to places like New York, Seattle, if you're a conservative, you can't speak up or you're not invited back to whatever it is. It's frightening. College campuses, you can't have a dissension of view. It really is frightening, because these are the very same people growing up in the 60s that really spoke out on the campuses. And now, and so they're great. I mean, they're all wonderful about diversity, talking about it, diversity of color, creed, sexual preference, all those things, very diverse, wonderful, rainbow people, as long as you think like us. If you don't think like us, we don't want you in. And so This is a very, Dylan, it's tough as a young conservative, I think. I don't think it's tough, like, people starving or being, you know, in refugee camp is tough, but it isn't easy. It's easier to get girls if you and get a date if you at least pretend to be caring and inclusive and you're a left-leaning person and you hate Donald Trump. If you actually wore a Trump-supporting hat, it would be hard to get a date, I would think. So I think to get chicks, you have to at least pretend to be a liberal. And I really only mean that partly. It's really, you know, I'm a little partially tongue-in-cheek. It's really unfortunately true that if you are socially outed if you are a conservative, and I think that's very unfortunate, Dylan. It's like this younger generation just doesn't want freedom of thought, and I think it's a very sad thing.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. It's just the fact that I'm one that's not gonna, I'm gonna stand up for what I believe in, and I personally believe Donald Trump's doing a great job. And as soon as I say that, it's like all hell breaks loose, and like no one, like especially with my generation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all my friends voted for Hillary, and I just am like, it baffles me. It literally, it's like unbelievable to me how you could want something so corrupt in our country. And when someone comes in and is trying to get rid of all the corruptness and all this mm-hmm. fake news and stuff, it's difficult. And it really pisses me off.
I don't blame you. I truly don't. I hope you will hang in there, because here's the reality. Here's the reality. Things change. They really do. And I hope you do have patience. I know that's kind of my theme of the day is patience, but you're going to need it. It's going to take a while. But
like you said earlier, like with the instant gratification in my yep. generation, we're always on our phones.
Yep.
And it's just, you have to be patient, and it's tough being patient with all this technology that we have nowadays and this and that. But that brings me to what that one guy said earlier. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a difficult time, but I appreciate the phone call.
I appreciate your insight, Dylan. And you know, you're not alone out there. There really are. We have a millennial in our office, and I would venture to say she's fairly conservative. Okay.
You know, awesome.
She may not be a giant wearing a banner on her pickup truck yelling about Trump and guns, but she certainly has conservative viewpoint, okay? And and she's cute as a button to boot. So there you have it. Now, so there are some wonderful people out there, and you will find them. You'll also find some of your friends with the realities of life may have some other information that slips in to their liberally biased data feed over time, and they may change their mind. But things change. They always do.
Yeah.
And so let it swing back and keep your head up, all right?
All right. Appreciate the phone call, sir.
Dylan, you have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Hey, Dick, I can't give you due time. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put you back up on the board right after the commercial break, because I don't want to have a one-minute conversation about Wall Street panic with you. So hang on. I'll grab you off air, and we'll see if we can't work out something for the beginning of the next hour, okay? At any rate, we are touching on and talking about patience today. And I hope you'll stick around the second hour as I touch on that as well. Is this trade war the end of this bull market? How do bull bear markets break out? Is this a normal correction? Is it abnormal? Should I be doing something different? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, you know, the problems of instant gratification and the hyperbolic media and how that feeds into our theory here. Also, I just on a positive note as we head out to the break, seriously, jobs numbers were fine. They were just fine. And we showed some wage increases. Not a bad number at all. Not a bad number. Over 300,000 last month, led to a little bit lower this time. We'll talk more. We'll be back after the news. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. Who am I? I'm Dave Petso. I've been doing this for over 30 years, actually in the business for 35. I'm here in Boise, Idaho. and just loving it. I can't believe how fortunate I have been. I really mean that. That's just an amazing thing. Like all of us, we won the lottery to be born in America during the greatest time human beings have been on Earth. All the benefits of that. But you see, it's like we got that little extra, whatever they call it, a Powerball kicker or something, because we get to live in Boise. I know, it's getting crowded. I know, although them there foreigners are moving in from California. And they are. By and large, they're very good people, though. And none of them are trying to change us into California, are they? They really aren't. They came here to get away from that stuff. Anyway, we can't keep the secret anymore. It's out. But how fortunate are we to be here? It's an amazing thing. And thank you for over 30 years of listening, tuning in, commenting, calling. It's been quite a ride. It really has. So thank you so much. Now, I got it before. Dick, I know you've been waiting forever. Thank you. I'm going to put you up here in a minute, but I almost forgot to get to my offense of the week. And I have decided I don't live a life of enough offense. I don't find myself getting offended easily, and apparently I don't understand the sensitivities of the world appropriately. So I've been working on it, you know, kind of like trying to, with my buddies, we try to find God moments, you know, because if you're driving down the road, you can just like live your life and not really recognize the beauty and the amazement in all the things around you, right? Well, I just haven't really fully embraced and understood how offended I needed to be every day. You know, I mean, I might make a comment of being childish and acting like a little girl or something like that, and I didn't realize how offensive that was to women and all. And so that's kind of where this started. I just realized I needed some more offenses. And we've always already talked about in Mount Holyoke, the Women's College in Massachusetts last week, talked about them, that they need to discourage the word, are you ready, on their campus. Now, this is a woman's college. They don't want to use the word woman at the woman's college, nor should you be identified as a woman at a woman's college. That kind of offended me, actually, to tell you the truth. This is to walk around with your hair on fire about finding offenses. Good Lord. On the way down here, I'm sure somebody cut me off. I can't remember, though, but I should hang on to that offense. I'm pretty sure I saw somebody doing something that offended me. It's the way the world works. But I heard another one. This one is a topper. This one came from a client. This actually happened to him. So he's doing a meeting with both the public, you know, primarily trying to teach the public about some stuff, you know. And again, I don't want to disclose who this is, but this is our offense at work, right? This is our total offense at work. He goes out and he's trying to teach and working with the public here, and he's got his crew around him. They've worked together great for years and years and years. Again, he works in the government. This will not surprise you at the end of this story that he does happen to work for the government. He's talking and they're finishing up, wrapping up. So if you have any questions and you want to fill out the form or you need some help, I've got all of my girls are here. You can go ahead and you can fill out the forms and hand them in. Somebody complains because, you're right, he said girls. He had to go to, what is that again, sexual abuse therapy? Something like that. He had to be retrained. Which infuriated the girls at his office, because that's what they referred them to themselves as. So this 65-year-old guy has to go into a sex, whatever, I can't even think of the name of it. What am I trying to say? Sexual abuse or something like that class. Seriously. Goes on his record because somebody in the public was offended. He said, girls. Guess what? The girls weren't offended. I need to have offense for you? Incredible. Good Lord. No wonder no wonder people have lost their mind to think we can't handle anything because we can't. So that's my offense of the week. Help me out. If you see one, hear one, you shoot that over. I want to share one a week. We got to become more offended, okay? We got to understand this so we can understand where people are coming from, and I can become more sensitive. That's what my objective is, of course. Dick, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please. Thank you very much.
Hi, Dave. This is Dick in Meridian.
Yes, Dick. Thank you for waiting through the break. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Listen, when it comes to offenses, I guess I would probably be on death row.
Are you a major offender in life, Dick?
Apparently.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm old enough so that I just used the common parlance of the day when I was growing up, and apparently all of that is offensive now. So, you know, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm at a loss. I actually had a similar thing occur not too long ago where I had made a joke to a group of people. They all laughed except for apparently one woman who decided later she needed to tell me she was offended because I had said girls. No joke. That actually did happen to me. So
yeah,
I felt very sorry for her and realized she has a very difficult life because she lives in offense then all the time.
Victim.
A victim of life.
Yep.
A wealthy white woman who lives in the suburbs of D.C., victimized by a Neanderthal like me. Anyway, Dick, let's move on.
We must be cousins.
Just can't get over it. It just blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. I don't even have to look very hard for an offense a week. It I'm learning to see them now.
Yeah, it's a frightening.
It is. All right. Thanks for holding. Go ahead, please. What do you got?
Okay. I've always been puzzled over how Wall Street operates. Somebody, it might be at a PTA meeting, says something, and all of a sudden there's a panic on Wall Street. And I don't, you know, it seems to me like they are just outright cowards.
Hmm.
I don't understand what causes them to go one way or another en masse. And do they ever bother to check out the information? Is it something that's actually going to have some sort of a financial impact, or is it just a knee jerk?
Yeah, it is a knee jerk. There's a couple things, Dick, that you have to understand about, if you will, panic. And this isn't panic, obviously. It's just a market correction, but they're perfectly normal, and they're opportunities for us. Most people don't take that opportunity. They do not. This is fearful to them, and they will not invest. They don't pull the trigger. They'll say, "I'm waiting for a correction or a pullback," but they don't actually pull the trigger when it does pull back. It's very common. It really is. Here's why, and here's what you have to kind of take all together and say, why does Wall Street do what it does? A, if there's uncertainty, Wall Street doesn't like that. Doesn't like it at all. It's more like shoot first, ask questions later. Panic, and then find out what's going on. Get out, and if you need to, get back in. It's that thought process if you're talking about short-term trading, and you have to if you're a short-term trader. That's the way you have to think. You don't think like I do. Like most investors do, like long-term investors. You think about buying the business you're buying. Like, do I think Apple is a great investment? Yes or no? Not yes or no, depending on the little news items that happened today. But the price of Apple, because of traders, not investors, will change a lot, or can a lot, every single day based on little data points. Now, there's something else, though, that affects the markets more today than pure human emotion. It used to be human emotion where people literally were panicking or moving markets quickly in one direction or another, and there just weren't very many buyers. Now, machines do it. Exchange-traded funds do it. So a company like Boeing is owned in, somebody told me, 100 different ETFs. 100 or hundreds. It was a big, big, giant number. So you're talking about... if people are trading these baskets called ETFs and the machines do trade them, right? So you have your algorithms are trading them in and out. They can move these very quickly. So it exaggerates the trading on a day-to-day basis, both up and down.
So we see a little bit more volatility because of the machines. They just jump on the bandwagon one way or another. But to answer your question, the broad question about humans and panicking, Wall Street doesn't like uncertainty. That's fair. But the idea, for example, that you're talking about of why would I change my investment philosophy because of short-term moves, the answer is you should not. Use them to your advantage, both in positive times when you're wanting to trim a position. People think just a little too well or positive about something. Or on the other hand, more often, we panic on the downside. Let's say you wanted to own Boeing. This looks like a tremendous opportunity to own Boeing, but people are not stepping into the gap, are they? The stock's been trading down because of a fear of a trade war. Well, that's fair that we take a little bit off the price, but is it fair that Boeing will never sell airplanes again? I think that's absurd. They have, what, a 7-year, 8-year backlog, something like that. So if somebody else says, I'm not buying, you know, the Chinese say, I'm not buying Boeing's aircraft, it's not that it's not going to be sold or that they have to give it away to Brazil or Malaysia or whatever. They don't. So it is a short-term uncertainty for Boeing. Is it a long-term problem? I really don't think so, but now you get to pay 15% less for Boeing than you did not long ago. That's not a bad deal, but it is to Wall Street short term.
Okay, so basically, I think what you just said is day traders do tend to panic, but you've also got these bots.
Yep.
That buy and sell and trade, and they don't have human intellect. They've got, like you said, algorithms.
Yep.
So is that a good thing? And do you see more of that coming in the future?
No, I don't think it's a good thing at all. I think it changes this. It can be a great thing for you and I, but it's not a great thing for the institution called Wall Street capitalism, which is a formation of capital, a place to go to have normal, if you will, exchanges. Now, there's still going to be bloodbaths because of a 2008 financial crisis. There could be a huge terrorist event like 2001. All of those things are real and real problems, and why Wall Street has a setback from time to time, a major setback from time to time. But they're infrequent. Most of the rest of the time when human beings are trading, they don't go and push things. They don't have flash crashes. I don't like it. I don't think it's healthy. I think it creates this this wonderful institution and turns it into some kind of a short-term game. I fight all the time against the idea of people going and buying equity-indexed annuities and just being stupid about what risk really is. Is it really short-term? Is it long-term that you're not going to have any money? And buying products that are high commission and won't work because they are able to, because of lax laws and a lax Department of Insurance that won't do anything, that they're allowed to trample all over senior citizens and people that don't know. But you would have to actually dig into the data to know that. And they're allowed to say things like guarantee. And then people go, oh, that's what I want. That's all I want. Don't just stop talking. Don't tell me about the details about why it won't work. Nobody would buy those products if they knew. And this right. is the kind of thing where the market moves up and down that I think moves people to not realizing what it is. It's these are the greatest businesses in the world. And they're going to keep growing, and we've all gotten rich over the years, over all of our ancestors, decade after decade after decade after decade. It's better than any other investment, and that's the story. And in the midst, we have to trade ETFs, and machines do it, and because everybody's got to make more money than they need, it's greed, and it bothers me, and it causes dysfunction in the markets. I don't like it at all, as you can tell.
Well, I was getting that impression, yes. Why don't people look at these proposed tariffs as an opportunity rather than a liability?
I think some do. You know, obviously I do. I think it is. And I also think it's an opportunity to fix what's broken. It's no different than when people say, well, what are we going to do about Iran? Well, how about instead of worrying about making a deal and sending them $100 billion or something in bills in airplanes and allowing them, you know, longer to develop a nuclear weapon, we're afraid of having a conflict. In other words, it just keeps festering. We don't want to get in North Korea's face. We let it fester. We don't want to have a real trade with China. We don't want to have a conflict with them. I think it's a great opportunity to fix a lot of things. It's a great opportunity that NAFTA gets looked at after, what is it, 20 or 30 years it's been around. Of course, things need to change from time to time. I'm not saying it's a good deal or a bad deal. I'm not a NAFTA expert, and I'm not going to put it in my own context. Like, well, you know what? Because I do soybeans or I do wheat or I do this, it hurts me. That is not a looking at the whole picture. What I'm saying is I think we can look at it again every 10 years or 5 years and say, is this a good deal or not? It's time to make these tough decisions and move forward. Those I see as opportunities. This is just another one of those that basically this president has said for 2 years, I want to renegotiate our trade deals. We are. Now, is it time to panic? No. I see it as an opportunity. I agree.
Okay. Yes. Well, thanks for your time, Dave. I appreciate
Dick,
it.
Thank you.
And by the way, I do enjoy your program very much.
Thank you, sir. And thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it. Call again.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. And we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, if you have any comments, questions during the week, love to hear from you, especially if you've got, you know, an offense. We're all going to together, we're going to learn to be more sensitive by seeing offense in everything we do. That's how I want to live my life, right? I want to be offended everywhere I look. That's right. I think it's a great thing that we figure out how people's speech isn't quite perfect. Anyway, if you see something funny, interesting that offends you, or you can't believe people are offended by, like the Holyoke Woman's College banning the word woman. Wow. It just makes my head explode, doesn't it? I mean, come on. This is unbelievable. Wow. Let's spend precious time on that. All right. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. And it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. Good. It's going very well. I'm having a wonderful day so far.
Have you, were you able to think of the word you were trying to think of?
What word was I trying to think of? I do know. I remember I was trying to think of a word, but I can't remember
being being offended, and the guy had to go to reconditioning.
Yeah. I'll think of it. Oh, yeah, I got it. You're right. Yeah, you have to think of that word. What was it?
Oh, you know, you just said it in this base form. It's sensitivity training.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't. It was like one of those worst things. Like, he was a sexual offender, you know?
Really? Just by calling somebody a girl?
Yeah. No, he had to go, like, sexual offender class or something. It was terrible. It was, like, a really horrible name. I asked him again because it was, like, really? Like, it wasn't like you had to go, you know, watch a show for, you know, an hour, you know, on sensitivity training or something. No, he was like a sexual offender, like he'd, you know, fanny padded somebody or something. It's just like, wow.
That's terrible.
Oh, it is terrible. Our government at its best, you know, make sure we punish everybody equally, right? It's, yep. Wow. Okay.
Well, you know, the Wall Street, I see all these Wall Street traders, like, you know, you see a school of fish, hundreds of fish, little minnows, and for, you know, maybe it's electronic, but all, at any given time, the entire school reverses itself instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like what Wall Street does. But you know the song from 1933, it's the Gold Diggers, where, I'm in the money, I'm in the money. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay, now here's what they sing when, you know, the stock market's doing well and it's up, and then it goes down, and then it comes up again. Then their refrain is, we've regained the money, we've regained the money.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. No, it's funny. You're right. I think your school of fish analogy is very good. And you see, it also is enhanced because, you know, all the computers are set on algorithms, and they run with whatever direction the market's going.
You know, there's a lot of things of course, there's a lot of things that I would, if I were Trump, I'd outlaw, if it were possible. It's those things, it's day trading, it's house flipping, making a quick buck, taking advantage and screwing up what is a good system.
Yeah, I agree. When it causes problems, I don't care about flipping a house. I mean, people, it's something somebody buys, they fix it up, and now somebody else wants to own it. That's a choice you and I make.
The housing goes up and people can't afford houses.
It does go up. It does go up. Absolutely, it goes up. Yeah, I agree. No, it does. It causes that. But at the same time, you're getting a product, right? I mean, it's not like everybody's standing in line to buy a house that's ready to fall down that had cats in it or something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So somebody goes in and fixes it up and resells it. That's opportunity. But that doesn't mess up my market. What does mess up the market are machines and machine trading when it gets out of control. It just pushes things around. It's not buying and selling. It doesn't make the market more liquid. It makes it broken. And that's what I think that they need to be doing. If they would do that, I would not be offended at all. I think it would help the system. I don't think you have to shut down all profitable enterprise everywhere. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the system as it is set to fail. We've already seen it fail with flash crashes, and that does not bring confidence. And if the SEC, who says that their chief objective is to bring confidence to the capital markets, then why don't they do their flipping job?
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, confidence.
Because it's money. That's why. Because they've got all these lobbyists are saying you need to do this. And they even got the SEC to block forever one of the companies that wasn't going to let them front run them anymore. And they finally, this company is out there and they're doing business and they're kicking tail. And I think it's great. So all these other exchanges are losing business to them, and they should.
Well, the nice thing about Trump is, he's doing what needs to be done, and let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. It's kind of like, we've got capital, right? I mean, we're capitalists.
Yep.
We invest money. The money goes up, but there's no sweat equity, right?
I mean,
we're not doing anything. So the actual blue-collar workers, are being put out of work here because the work goes overseas, and we're fat cats. There's something wrong with that picture,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well,
anyway, take care. And I don't know why they can't play golf in the rain. It would be more challenging only if there's lightning. That must be, I'm going to use a politically incorrect word.
Because I'm one of them.
They're pussycats.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I guess you too. I mean, get out there and, enjoy the elements.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's real enjoyable to slog through the rain. Yeah, and dodge lightning bolts. Great.
Well, like I say, if there's real danger, like lightning, story. But
and that's the only reason they call it. If it's coming down too hard to play, meaning the greens are flooding. Now, if the greens can flood, and they do, and the bunkers do, if it gets real heavy. But otherwise, you will see them play. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will be interesting. Some of the shots will be quite interesting, no doubt. All right.
Well, anyway, take care. Nothing much to say. I'm still investing and whatever.
Buy the dip.
I just kind of like it when everybody is yelling fire and running around and worried and all this. I mean, I kind of, Donald Trump has made maybe it's a reality show. Maybe life is now a reality show, but it's much more exciting,
Yeah, it is. No, I agree with you. He's out doing stuff, and it's really disturbing. I mean, when we take a step back and watch all of the hyperventilating on the left and in the media, which is just proving how leftist they really are, they just can't stop themselves. It's actually quite comedic. He's really got them. I mean, he's really got them disturbed. It's amazing.
And nobody can stop him. Nobody can do anything about it. I mean, he's like Superman, really.
Yeah, in a way, he is. I mean, you look at this. It's like, and nobody can even stop on the Russian thing. I mean, he's enhanced the sanctions like what, three times, kicked people out. But hey, he's in bed with the Russians. We're going to prove it.
First, they were saying the Russians got him elected. Now they're saying Facebook got him elected.
Right, Right. I know. It wasn't possible that Americans made a choice from a well-known criminal to take a shot at a reality TV guy.
Well,
I don't
know. It's nice to hear the likes of Dylan. You know, Dylan was refreshing.
Wasn't he?
And yeah, and the fact that he himself can't stand Hillary, you know?
Yeah.
Now, he must have been not more than 5 years old when the Clintons were in power, you know?
Right.
And I remember how she helped her husband do exactly what they're claiming Trump is doing now.
Yep, I know. I know. And also, and of course, destroying evidence that's been subpoenaed. It's okay when Clintons do that. Now, apparently, it's not okay if a Republican does. Anyway.
Well, hang on.
It's not okay if anybody does it, for crying out loud. That's for sure. All right, Jim, I got to go.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. We will be right back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Sorry, I was a little distracted here. I was actually looking at an email. My fault. My bad. Thank you for the email. What sectors do you think are a good value now that we have a big sale going on, right? Well, you know what? It's not like we're way off of our highs here. That's the thing. It's not created this incredible bargain hunting session. Things are cheaper, yes. And what I would look in areas, but you have to realize the ones that are getting hit the hardest are the ones that have been up so much, right? Stuff like Boeing that's doubled over the past year is off 15%. Well, that's not, you know, I wouldn't call that a bargain. I would say it's cheaper than it was. So as far as looking at different sectors that are really bargain, I don't think they've changed. Sectors like energy, and I'm not saying you should go buy energy. I think there's reasons that some of these sectors are, if you will, languishing. Our ability to drill for so much energy so quickly, and with fracking, with the technology we have now, it just doesn't look to me like prices are going to rise a lot, right, in energy. So, again, I'm not an oil analyst. I'm not pretending to be. I'm saying that some sectors have a very good reason why. So I just go back to those that are the cheapest, the same ones. And that is those areas that have been beaten down for years and maybe are doing okay. They're not way off of their highs, but they've never gotten back up to full valuations. And that, for me, is emerging markets. Again, the world is growing. It's growing rapidly. The world is moving back towards capitalism. I know that Donald Trump is not unique to this country. You know, France has moved dramatically more conservative in their country. All of Europe has. Look what happened with Brexit in Europe. This is not a leftist globalist, everybody in and everybody needs to be equal type of status quo around the world. It's not that way at all. And so it's creating this growth. Taxes are being cut. Regulations are being cut in all countries everywhere. And emerging markets, even more. And so those markets had not been moving well in the past 5-6 years, and they finally had a good year last year. But this pullback, I think, is another opportunity to reload in those areas that really are undervalued compared to the rest of the world. So I would stick with the same ones. But it's a great question, and one we always want to be asking. And that's why I love that question, and I love your questions, by the way, because that is a consistent thought right there, that you're always asking about where are the best bargains in the world? That's the question to ask. Not, is the market too high? Is the market about to peak? Is the market going to fall? Those are the wrong questions. The right questions are, where are the best values? That's where you put your next dollars you make. You don't wait for a sign from God that the market correction's over or some nonsense like that. You get caught in that. And it feeds on that lack of patience that we've been speaking about. You can't do that. You're not going to get it right all the time. And then you're trapped out. And you start playing this game that you're super trader dude. And you're not. And it takes up all your time and your attention. And you get fussy about it. And you become a giant bore. You're no fun at all. you know, it's like people ask, you know, it's like, ah, yeah, yeah, the market was down on Friday. It was a really bad day. It was a terrible day. Terrible day. Honestly, it didn't ruin my day. I mean, this is my life. But it used to be something you would focus on a lot. And you don't. It makes you worse at it. These are the kind of days that give you a chance to buy. You say, well, Mel, I am buying. Good, keep buying. But if you got a little bit more, up your contributions whenever there's a little bit of a dip. And don't forget, your dividends and your capital gains, they're all being reinvested, hopefully now at dip prices. That's what happens. We're always reinvesting, and corrections are normal. To be fussed about them or trying to figure them out, it feeds in that. When you start trading, it's over. It's over. You just kind of walk through this door into this trap. You know, it's like an ant. You know, you go to an ant hotel, roach hotel, whatever it is. You get in, but you can't get out. Now you're a super trader. You can't get out. And it doesn't work. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference if you're right or wrong. Because if you're right, you think you're smarter than you are. You don't recognize you just got lucky. And now you got to get right in. You got to figure out the right time. The worst people at this are the smartest people. They really are. The higher your intellect, the more difficult it is for you to admit that you have no idea what the future is, because you're actually a pretty smart guy. And you have a hard time not being clever by half. It's just hard for you if you're really, really smart. See, we all know those people, right? Those really rare people that are really, really smart. But you see, they've got something else. They've got a couple other things. They have got common sense that is truly uncommon. I know everybody thinks they have common sense. Most people have absolutely no common sense. They don't. They walk around with their faces in the on their screens and their social media and all this. They have no idea how the world works. They never spend any time contemplating. They just get fed a belief system. They get fed stuff. They never even really think about it. They don't think. We all know people who they're really smart. They really know stuff. But do you know what else they have? They're like, they're wise. Because they see things in a different way. They think about things in a different way. They take a step back. They contemplate. It's different. But most people are just smart. They don't have that. And those people that are just smart don't know their limitations. Like Dirty Harry said, right? A man's got to know his limitations. And they don't. They don't. Unfortunately, that really describes, to a certain degree, most smart people. We all know a few. But they are rare. They really are rare. A rare type that knows their limitations, knows what they don't know. And that's all of us. We need to work towards that, don't we? We need to know what we don't know. Need to take a quick break here. And I need your phone calls in this final segment. That's what I'd like to know. We got a lot going on, right? A lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool things out there. Why don't you tell me a good millennial story like Dylan, huh? I already told you about the one. And by the way, I realize how offensive I am. I just realized it at the last break, how offensive I am. Because I realized that I said of a girl in our office, and I will call her a girl, a millennial, I said she was cute. And I realized that. I know. Shame on me. I'm learning. I'm going to become more sensitive to that fact, because she may be listening and may have been deeply offended. Our number is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us today. If you have any comments, questions, input, anything, shoot it over to us at petsofinancial.com. We also have podcasts there. And Jennifer and Erica have been doing a kind of a basics podcast too. Check it out. You know, we all need to know about this stuff. It's not okay to be dumb. It's not okay to be dumb. You don't have to know it all. This is an easy game. I got it. It is easy. I'm not changing my mind. It's simple. You begin. You save some money. You stay out of debt. You become rich. You stay in. It's not that hard. But we all need to understand, or we can be driven away into these horrifyingly terrible products and get trapped. And on there also, you want to know more about annuities? That's right. Those stinking, horrifying pieces of manure. Steaming, heaping things. You have to be careful because our state does nothing. Department of Insurance does nothing to protect the citizens against this fraud. Nothing. And they won't tell you, they won't talk to me. They're not doing anything about it. They don't want any input. So I get that. But you, that's what I'm saying. You have to understand we've got to protect yourself because the regulators aren't doing anything. They have nice, cushy jobs. I guess they just don't want to do anything and work at it. So they're not doing anything. You have to be aware. If you know somebody, your neighbor, your dad, your parents, your grandparent, whatever it is that are getting this pitch, you make sure you have them listen. This is needs to be understood. And it's right there on our website, okay? All right, don't worry. I'm not going to go into a rant against them again. It's right there, but I break it down over 40 minutes, okay? I know, it sounds boring, doesn't it? But if you need to know, this is, I mean, it's not good enough, I guess, for certified financial planners and others to be out there saying, don't do this, okay? I break down the reasons why don't do this, okay? All right, I want you to gain this thought, okay? This is what I want to leave you with today. We have to have the right perspective of what goes on day to day. We have to have patience. If you're not patient, investing is very, very hard. Life is very, very hard. The world is impatient. We must fight against that. And it's not something you say. It's something you say every day. I will be at peace. Find your own space. Find your own mantra. Find your own time. Find your own peace. And it isn't in your screen. It's not on your TV. We have to stop and think and create a peace in our life, or we can't gain the right perspective, really about anything. The world is becoming ever more impatient. I want my money now. I want to know what the market did. I want to know what this. Instead of thinking about this, and our decisions have been terrible, haven't they? I mean, just pushing off and not trying to create confrontation with North Korea has created confrontation. Not doing anything about Iran has created a terrible situation in the Middle East. Not doing anything with our trade partners, stealing our technology, except sitting and whining and complaining, has led us to this. And here, nobody had cared about trade deals. Nobody cares about trade. Nobody cares about it, except if it's Donald Trump. They hate him so much that the noise is deafening, isn't it? It's just deafening. You have to understand this in the press. Final thought. September 28th, 2008, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 777 points. Its worst day ever. That's what the headlines read. The worst day ever for the Dow. While that was true based on how many points the Dow dropped, it barely made the top 20 percentage-wise. Top 20. Not the worst day. But man, it made a great headline. Do you know the very next day, the Dow was up 485 points? Did the headlines read, the Dow has the third best day ever? No. Bad news sells, not good news.